some interesting thing. I told her about this year. I thought it was wild. There's, you ever hear of in America, there's a batchen. His name is Yankel Miller, he called himself Yarmarov. It's a big batchen, it's a famous batchen. Very big litz. But he's a Tamach Chochem also. On Purim they bring, what? Batchen's a comedian. He's a comedian, but he's a Tamach Chochem. What? Not just Jewish jokes. He can actually tell you. I was one time I heard him. Shem Brooks here. He asked if the oil includes Talmid Chachamim. If you say yes, then he'll tell you jokes that are matim for Talmid Chachamim. They don't understand it. He goes into Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I heard every year Purim they bring into Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He makes Rav Chaim Kanievsky mamash live. His name is what?
Rabbi Kallis.
Rabbi Kallis.
He gives a share of prize.
I know who he is.
I'm saying, he's like...
I'm kidding, he's the funniest rabbi.
Very funny? Okay, I know he's funny. He wants...
Just to us.
That could be. He wants this young Yankel Miller. He called himself Yarmarov. He made himself a title, like he's a rov of a certain place. The kids are... He once spoke at a Sheva Brochas. I was there a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago. A nephew of mine. So he said, somebody wanted to make parnosa. So... Somebody told him, in America you can make a lot of money if you be a rabbi. So he said, how can I be a rabbi? I don't know anything. I'm not a tamachocha, I didn't know your day, I don't know anything. Because in America you have to know it all. In America you have to know, you set a price, talk with confidence, and whatever you say, you stand by it. You can make a lot of money. So I said, okay, I'll try. So he said, the guy started right away, put a phone number, anybody called up, he said right away, this is $100 or $200, he became a rabbi. So somebody calls up and he tells him, he says, Rabbi, I have a shver shayla. What's the shayla? It's to do with a veilus. No, a veilus, $150. What's the shayla? So shayla is, he says, my father's a very old man. So he says, what's wrong with that? So he says, the problem is I have to go, I have a business trip to Japan. I got to be there with him for a month and a half. My father's going to die when I'm there. I'm going to have to come back because it costs you a lot of money. So he says, what do you want to do? You want to die early? He says, no, chas v'shalom. He should live long. But I want to sit shiva now on the cheshbon, he's going to die. I want to sit shiva now. You know Yankel Miller, the Yarmarov, the Batchen? It's a famous Batchen in America. I want to sit shiva now. Can I sit shiva now for him? Because he's probably going to die. He's like 90 years old. So the guy thinks, for me, yeah, for $100, $150. He says, yeah, you can do it. These are aloches aveiros. I give him the aloches. He made his money. 2 days later, an old man calls him up. You're the rabbi who gave the heter for my son. This is the guy who's matzah's son to sit shiva. He's alive and kicking. He says, you're the guy who gave my son the heter? He says, Mama, she's sittering, he's scared. He says, yeah, I gave the heter. He says, you have any problem with the heter? He says, no, I have no problem. That's fine. But I have another shayla. How much you can take for this shayla? He says, what's the shayla? The shayla is, can I go menachem over my son? Yeah. Can I go menachem over my son? He's singing shiva for me. That's what Yarmarov once said. So I heard at the time, the whole thing sounded like, you know, litzi litzonis. The whole thing's ridiculous. I saw Erev Shabbos. It's not so far-fetched. There's the idea of sitting shiva before someone dies. Where do you see it? So first of all, there's a tshuva from Shlomo Klugin, Kuftan Badas. The Shach says in Shin Mem in Yerdea, the person was told, those days there were no telephones ever, someone got the message that his father passed away. So he sat shiva. He did kriya, whatever. So the Shach says, if later on he found out that it's not true, his father really did not die then, he died 2 weeks later. Shach says you weren't Yotze with Kriya. Why? Because Kriya's guy was Shach Chimam, he wasn't really dead, you weren't Yotze. So Shlomo Kluger and Tuf Tam Vadas is Medaik, you weren't Yotze the Kriya. But it's Mashah the Shiva, you were Yotze. So it comes out, at least by the Evid, you can be Yotze Shiva, even a person that was alive. That's right. It comes out of Loch and brings right to that. You're Yotze Shiva, even a person was alive. But again, by the Evid, not Lechachila, like the Yarmarov wanted to suggest. The Yotze Mizeh, I saw something this past week in Parshas Noach. So it says that the Baruch Hashem said, "Oit shiva yomim, ani mamter aleichem." Another 7 days comes the Mabel. Yerushalmi asks a question. In Moed Katan, daf tesvav ben aleph. Why did the Baruch Hashem say another 7 days? Why can't the Baruch Hashem make the Mabel right away? The guys have to buy umbrellas. Well, what's the problem? The Baruch Hashem was out of water. Well, why did the Baruch Hashem have to tell them to wait 7 days? So Shalom gives two terutzim. One terutz is brought down by Rashi in the sixth parasha, that the 7 days were for the shiva of Mr. Shelach, the oldest man ever. It was the shiva of Mr. Shelach. For me?
Yeah.
Okay. My problem is I have to daven from the Omer 3 times a day, plus my shroom. My mom still loses my voice. I'm not used to davening. I was told if you take voice lessons, you can learn how to make your voice and not wear out your throat, but I didn't learn it yet. So in the meantime, I get, it was my boss at the time. In any event, so the second Teretz Yishalmi is Taka Misushalach, like Rashi brings down. The first Teretz Yishalmi is no, that the Rebbein Hashem told him 7 days, he wanted the Noach and his kids to sit Shiva for the Bnei Doirim that are about to be killed. All the people living are being killed. The Rebbein Hashem is telling now to sit Shiva. Yishalmi has a kasha. How could it be a singer Shiva on a person that died? Yishalmi has the kasha. And for the Yishalmi answers that the Peshat is a regular person can't sit Shiva because you don't know for sure someone's going to die. But the Rebbein Hashem knows that these people are going to die in exactly 1 week. So the Rebbein Hashem can tell them, sit Shiva now. So Rabbi Chilmi Paris, one of the Rishonim, Baltosis, he's medayik from that in case a person knows for sure that someone's going to die on a certain day, you can sit Shiva before the person's dead. Because you know for sure he's going to die. So therefore, I know of two such echatimtzes. I know of one echatimtze. First of all, if you, the place coming down when they bring this Rechim the Paris, let's say the government sent us a certain person to hanging because he spied, whatever. And they say, next week, Monday at 2 o'clock, that's the date for the hanging. You know for sure that's when they're going to do it. According to Rechim the Paris, comes out Lamaisa, you can sit Shiva now because you know exactly when he's going to die. Another echatimtze, when I was in Asia Torah days, so they had over there, people used to ask the Shaila, their siblings want to pull the plug on their father or on Grandma Betsy, so they want to pull the plug on them because a vegetable, waste of money, energy, whatever. So I remember I asked Rabbi Yashua then what to tell them. Yashua said, they have to say, I'm against it, it's against the halacha. And more than that, they don't go five of them, and they're not going to listen to them anyways. One of them among five brothers, and there's no chance. So in a case like that where you know that your brothers are going to pull the plug on your grandfather, in 7 days from now, or something like that. It comes out according to Rechim Priz. You can sit Shiva now. I'm not saying we pass like that, but it's an amazing idea. You can sit Shiva on a person that's still alive. So, just wanted to tell you. Anyway.
Is there any difference when this person actually dies?
What does that mean?
Is there like a period of anemia or something like that?
When a person dies and he was not yet buried, then he's anointed.
He doesn't sit Shiva after that. That's the person who's buried. Is he
already
kind of Shiva?
No. Oinin is before the Shiva. Right. After he's buried, then you said the Shiva.
So the person said a Shiva already 2 weeks ago.
You're saying if he said Shiva, this is the Adoinu. I don't know how to answer that question. I have no idea.
So you're going on a limb, like you're going on a guess.
It is. It's a Chiddush. Because after all said and done, the Gemara says you're supposed to be mispal, afilu cherev chad, the Gemara broke the feud, afilu cherev chad, and munachas al tzvar shom. If there's a knife in your throat, you're still supposed to dab. So what if the government said they're going to kill him on a certain day? Maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe that day will be a strike. It's still a big hit, but Rechimi Paris has it. Anyway, let's change subjects. We're talking today about Bishul. I just mentioned because on the Parsha, my son and my shul, the guys went wild. Said, showing a person not yet dead, like it sounds really crazy. Huh? Rabbi Chilmi Paris, the Rishon. Rabbi Chil from France, from Paris, the Rishon. Okay, Shabbos, Hilchos Bishul. My humble opinion is, that if a person does not know Bishul, Shia, Chazar, and Atmana, he shouldn't get married. I'm not going to tell people to get divorced. I'm not going to stop yeshiva guys from getting married, but it's not shaykh. It's not shaykh if you don't know these halachas, that you're not going to machal Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah writes in his Akdoma to Chela Gimel that if a person, he quotes Rabbi Yonis Naibish, it's in Yaras Dvash, if a person does not learn Hilchos Shabbos, then he's for sure going to machal Shabbos. That's a very big statement to make. And today people could say, if I come from family, most of these things I saw in my house, maybe he's not going to machal Shabbos and everything. But Bishul, Shia, Chazar, Atmona, if he didn't learn the halachas, you're for sure going to be machal Shabbos. Are you always going to be machal Shabbos? No, just once a week. On Saturdays, like they say. It's guaranteed. Hamayah Chareis. Let's talk a little bit about halachas of Bishul. And afterwards, you hear the applications of the blech and the electric hot plate and all these different things. These are things that are very interesting. And Dafka Maichab, we learn Yeridaya, it hooks up with Yeridaya also, because you gotta know what's a Kli Rishon, what's a Kli Sheni, Yesh Bishlach HaBishl, a lot of things hook up with Yeridaya, Basar Cholov and Teruvus. The Torah says that you're not supposed to cook on Shabbos. What does it mean to cook? Cook means that you're taking an item which is hard, and by putting it on the fire, you're making it soft, you're making it edible, you're making it pliable, flexible. That's called Bishl. But it's not just food. It could also be metal. If I want to make the Statue of Liberty. I think the sculptor of the Statue of Liberty was a Jewish woman. No, that was the prayer on that. There's a prayer. Emily something or another. The prayer that's in the hand of Mrs. Liberty over there that was written by some Jewish woman. Nobody knows that? Yeah. Somebody Lazarus. Sorry, I remember in my head from many, many years ago.
They were all like Hebrew words or just like...
You think it's the Tfilos from the Chunim and the Kana before you go to the Beis Medrash? No, no. Some stupidity written by a Jewish lady, that's all. That's been there for a long time and she's still saying, she's still in Davin. So she's standing there like a klutz. Probably the, it's like the stupidest invention they ever made in America. Hundreds of people going up. What's the purpose? When you get up, you have to go back down because people behind you. That's why they go up. Never understood it. They didn't have elevators in those days, but what's the idea? Probably throwing a few people go up there. Lomashna, I did it stupid. I was stupid enough to go there a few years ago. I wouldn't do it again. In any event, what?
I live in New York, I still never
went. When I was in New York, I also didn't go. But I went with my wife, and she's an Israeli. Israeli, you have to go different places. So she said, I have to go. You have to go to Niagara Falls. I lived in America 20 years and I went to Niagara Falls, but I'm married to Israel, you have to go to Niagara Falls. She's already going to America, you have to see it. In any event, Bishul also applies to, you take a statue, you want to melt down the metal because you want to make a sculpture. That's also Bishul. And there's certain afkaminas. First of all, we have a din of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. If something's already cooked, you won't be over if you cook it. What does that mean? If you take something solid, a dover yovish, and you cooked it, you cooked before Shabbos a piece of chicken, a piece of kugel or something like that. Even if it got cold, there's no problem of putting it next to a fire. Not on the fire, but next to a fire. Even though it's going to get hot, it's already cold, it was in the refrigerator the whole night. You can leave it there, it'll get yatsa lettuce by, it's not a problem. Why? Ein bishul achar bishul. On the other hand, if you take a liquid and it gets cold, for instance, I made chicken soup, now the guest didn't eat it, or your kid didn't eat it. Now it got cold. Can I put that back into a pot? You know the pots of the fire. You cannot. Because a liquid, we paskin, yesh bishul achar bishul. Now Chazini says, this is not exeris akosov. It's a very normal, sensible thing. Why? Because a dover yovish, like a piece of chicken or a piece of kugel, even though right now it's cold, but the change is still there. It's soft, it's edible. A piece of food that was cooked, you can eat, no?
If you take a pot of soup after eating it, it cools down, it's not warm, like you put it back on.
Then there's no problem. Then there's no problem. A cold man, it's not completely cold, you can warm it up. Again, not on the fire, next to the fire, into a pot of soda, not on the fire. Cannot. Once something was taken off, you can't. There's a problem with chazora. We'll talk about that.
Still then, it can't become yatsaletas boy.
If it can't come yatsaletas boy, so you're not going to be chayiv, but it's usher to do it because you might forget it there, and it'll get yatsaletas boy. Okay?
The food that lets out liquid, you have to constantly check if it let out liquid and if the liquid's being boiled.
No, no, no. A solid food, there's ein bishul achar bishul, even if it's sopping wet. Doesn't bother me. I think a piece of chicken that's sopping wet, was already cooked, now it's cold, it's in the refrigerator, I can put it next to the fire, even the liquid comes out. That's not a problem. Since I'm putting there a dover yovish, that doesn't bother me. It's an interesting question, the poiskim. You know what a sufganiya is? That's coming up soon for Hanukkah.
It already came out, they already have out already.
You know the guys are eating sufganiyot? What's a sufganiya in English? Donut?
Donut. Jelly donut.
Okay, donut. It's like jelly in the middle. The kids love it. I can't stand it. You take one bite, it spritzes you in the face. It's hot. It's mamish. There's a question over there. Do we look at that as a dover lach or as a dover yovish? Piece of chicken that's sopping wet, dover yovish. But a sufganiya, Rosh Hashanah says, that's still considered dover yovish. I look at the outside. And then bishul achar bishul.
It's filled with oil.
Or jelly.
It's the whole, whenever you like take one, it's just like filled with grease and oil.
It's not filled. It's only a drop of shemen, but the nes of Chanukah that it becomes eight times bigger. It's full of oil. But in any event, the Rav Yashu says that you don't have the heter of dover yovish because it's a body of liquid inside. There's a machlekes, but in general, any dover yovish, take a piece of kogi, you let it put next to the fire, you see mamish grease pouring out, oozing out. It's mutter. You're allowed to do that. And you should use your food for sure, right? It's full of oil and grease. I'll call upon him. You're allowed to take a dover yovish and put it next to the fire. Dover lachi cannot. Says the Chazanish. That's not a gzeris akosov, it's common sense. A piece of chicken or a piece of kugel, even if it's cold right now, but the fact that you cooked it, it's soft, it's edible, it's pliable, a certain part of the bishul remained. As on the other hand, a liquid, take chicken soup, you cooked it. Now you leave it on the table, came mamish cold. Tastes gefährlich, or coffee is cold. You can't drink coffee that's cold. So therefore, we say that by yovish, since the bishul, something is left of it, and bishul achar bishul. By lach, nothing is left, so yes, bishul achar bishul. And the Chazanish says, that's the case. Let's say you're making the sculpture, the Statue of Liberty. You're taking metal, you want to make it molten hot so you can make fingers, make whatever you want to make out of it, right? So let's say it got cold. Now you want to do some more sculpturing on Shabbos, okay? So you make a hat again. Are you going to say it's a Dover Yavash and Bishlach and Rishal? No, says the Chazanish. Because here you lost it completely. Once it's cold, there's nothing there. A piece of wood, you could say once it's cold, it's still edible. That remained. But a piece of metal that you're doing because you want to make it, you're able to work with it, once it got cold, nothing's remained from the original Bishlach. So there we'll say, yes, Bishlach and Rishal. Okay, so that's in the Bishlach and Rishal. Now, we have different types of kli. Which kli is Mavashal and which kli is not Mavashal? Kli Rishon means a kli that is or was on the fire. That's a kli rishon. If I have chicken soup that was on the fire, even if right now it's off the fire, to put a piece of meat into there, that's called a kli rishon. That's mamish bishul deraisa. You're being chayiv bishul on Shabbos. Then you have what's called a kli sheni. Kli sheni means if I take from that pot of chicken soup and I put it into a plate, it's still boiling hot, but that's a kli sheni. A kli sheni technically is not mevashal, but we still say you shouldn't use l'chadchila. Why? One is because it's Mexican mevashal. If you see me putting something, I think a piece of meat, I'm talking a boiling hot plate of soup, you know it's a klisheni. You think it's a klishon. So therefore it's Mexican mevashal. It's like a marasayin. We answer it because it's marasayin. Klishlishi, we don't answer. Klishlishi is basically mutter to whatever you want. Now you can ask the question, if there's marasayin by klisheni, there's no number on the plate whether it's two or three. Why isn't that marasayin there also? So Teretz says, the idea of marasayin is something which Chazal decided when to be goyzer and when not. Not everything, I was just discussing this with a young man, Yigalite in my curl today. Not everything that looks like it's usser are Chazal goyzer. I said, well, what are you talking about? Where do you have a case not like that? I can count down on my fingers. Muktze, I can take a marshal, a pliers. I want to use the pliers to pick my nose. I decided to pick my nose on Shabbos. I can be miyachad the pliers before Shabbos, and now it's not muksa. You see, I'm picking up the pliers, you're not going to think I'm having muksa in my hand. You don't know I was miyachad. No problem, marasayin. I don't know why no one asked the question, but it's like the most obvious possibility of marasayin, and it's not. They're not geyser. Another case is no marasayin. I gave you the case of klishlishi. Yichud. There's a din. I go to my chavrusa's house at night. Let's say he's not there. His wife is there. It's a problem of yichud. It's a deraisa. But there's a heter in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra Simcha Beis. There's a heter of Balo Be'ir. If her husband's in town, so then there's no problem of yichud. But in my case, it wouldn't help because since I'm many years in the same person's house, there's a problem of liba gasbe. Once you're hamish with a woman, I know her very well. They're like for 20 years in the same place. So, or it could be the same thing, a friend. It could be chavrusa. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be your mother-in-law. It could be your sister-in-law. Anybody that you know well and you're not embarrassed to be the house with them, then Balo Be'ir doesn't help. So let's assume it's, I don't have the thing of Liba Gaspar. We have a heter Balo Be'ir. Why is Balo Be'ir mutter? When you see me in the house with Mrs. Jones, why is it not marasayin? No answer. Why? I can't give you the reason why, because I never saw somebody saying why, but there's countless cases where Chazal not goes in marasayin. Klishen, there goes in marasayin. I assume the pshat is, and I can't say that I saw this, I'm speculating the reason is because a klishlishi usually does not get that hot that I should think it might be a klishen. Whereas a klishen, if you just poured boiling hot soup from a pot into a plate, it could still be bubbling hot. Maybe that's the reason, but I'm not sure. Hakoponim, a klishlishi is basically mutter. However, being that there is a day that says that a klishlishi is usher, a day in the Rishon, Rabbeinu the Sefer Yireim, Rabbeinu Eliezer Amitz, some sefer like that. So it's kedai to prepare something before Shabbos and not to have to do it on Shabbos. So for instance, you will make tea before Shabbos. We'll talk how you make it. It's kedai to prepare the tea before Shabbos. If you didn't prepare the tea before Shabbos, you are allowed to go on Shabbos, take a tea bag, and put it to kli shlishi. What do? Pour the water from the kumkum, from the percolator.
Water urn.
Okay, my English is getting better. You pour from the urn into a cup, that's kli sheni. From the cup into another cup, that's a kli shlishi. And you can put the tea bag in there, and it'll be fine. It'll cook it. You're allowed to do l'chadchila on Shabbos. That's kli shlishi.
Tea bag first or water first?
So I'm telling you, you're allowed to put into the kli shlishi, you're certainly allowed to pour the kli shlishi on that. That's iru kli shlishi. That's for sure mutter. That's even less. We'll get to that in a minute.
What about kli rabi? Just to like
for sure is mutter. The daya that says that you should be machmer on a kli shlishi, which is a lezer mitz, and some say for all passing like that, they say shlishi rabi no matter what, as long as the atzalat is, but don't do it. We don't pass like that. Mishnah Berurah says clearly, Because Shlishi is mutter. As does Rav Moshe Feinstein, as a Chazanish, Shlishi is mutter. What do you got? No, why should we kavishin? Kavishin is not where you're cooking. Kavishin is defined the kli that was on the fire. First one was on the fire. Second one is not. The third one's not. Kavishin is on the fire. No fire. You're off.
If you have the tea bag in first, and you're pouring that water in.
Oh, rega. That's what's called Erie. One second. Erie. You know what Erie is? It's one of the five great lakes. But that's not what we're talking about. That's Erie. There's Erie of a kavishin, which means like this. You can take, let's ask a very obvious question. Why is a kli rishon chayiv when you cook something in there? Take a piece of meat, your mamash chayiv. Kli sheni is mutter. We're not for the marasayim problem and another secondary problem, what's called kali abish. There are a few items that cook even in a kli sheni. One of them might be a tea bag. Mishabur thinks a bunch of little pieces there. That might actually be a kali abish. There's certain items. So because of those few items, that's another reason not to cook in a kli sheni. But there's an obvious question. Tosi asked a question. Why should it depend whether it's the kli on the fire or the kli off the fire? Like he was asking. You ever go to Toldos Aron Friday night? They have a tish. This huge, call it a kumkum, an urn, a percolator. It's taller than yours. It's like 6 feet tall. And the water that comes out of there, a tremendous quantity of water in there, boiling. It comes out boiling hot. You put it into a glass, it's almost bubbling. If I can get a kli sheni that's very hot, and it's even hotter than kli rishon, you can sometimes have a pot that's on the fire and you turned off the fire, and right now it's barely yatzeledes boy. It's yatzeledes, but barely. So if the kli sheni in this case is hotter than a kli rishon, why do you say kli rishon yechayiv and the kli sheni is mutter? How's that going to work? Tais has the kasha. Tais is a very interesting thing. Tais says bishul doesn't mean how hot it gets. Bishul means it affects a change in the item by means of heat, right? Whether it's metal or it's a food, but it becomes softer because of the heat. So when you have a kli rishon, like a pot or an urn, that was on the fire, not just the food was on the fire, the walls around the pot was also on the fire. So if I now put a piece of meat in there, or a piece of kugel, that has koyach to cook the kugel and to affect a change and make it soft. On the other hand, when you're talking about a kli sheni, what's a kli sheni? I went to Toldos Aron for a tish, and I poured boiling hot water into the cup. Now it's true, the water is boiling hot, but the confines, the walls around it, are cold. So from the very beginning, there's a conflict of the boiling hot water and the walls around it. When you have a food where there's a conflict between the boiling hot water and the walls around it, or a plate of soup, the boiling hot soup versus the plate around it, that does not have a koyach to cook the food. It's not going to happen. It can't change the food and make it soft. There might be some exceptions, but as a rule, it's not going to happen. So basically what we're saying is that a kli rishon is more chomer because it's not just that the liquid is boiling hot, but the walls around it were on the fire. Okay, whereas a kli sheni, the walls around it were not on the fire. You can have another interesting case where it's a kli rishon, but you wouldn't think of it. Does anybody know what immersion heater is? Kaf chashmal? Immersion heater?
Suvi.
Huh?
Suvi.
Suvi?
Yeah, the stick the thing in the side of the pot.
Right, you stick it into, you can put it into a cup of coffee, and you put the plug in the wall, and it makes you a coffee. They don't use these today. I found in my house last week, I have two of them. I was supposed to have one, and I'm choshish that I took one over here by accident. Looks exactly like mine. I don't know. It's one of the little things you plug it in, you put it in. I have it since, I have like 43 years. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, I used it as a bocher to make coffee. I still have it. And I brought it here. Must have brought home Bein Azman. I brought someone else's home. I have two of them now. It's a Nesman Hashemayim. I don't know. I think it's called Kneva Betois. If I can't figure out whose it is, I probably won't. So he's supposed to do it. He's supposed to give money like to yeshiva, to library, sandwiches for the tzibur. I have no idea how I got to me, but it's not mine. What can you do? I'm being misvada. I got to do tshuva, but who knows? Anyway, getting to what we're saying. When you put a immersion heater, kaf chashmal, into liquid, so now you're cooking the water and not the kli. It's exact opposite, the converse of a cup. Right? A cup, when you pour the hot water from the percolator in the cup, the water's boiling hot and the walls are cold. Here's the other way around. The water inside is going to be boiling hot, and the walls around it are cold. But that is a kli rishon. It's a kli rishon because the fire is on the food, even though the walls around it are cold. A kol ponim.
You want to take it out? So
yes. A kli rishon, just like if you took a pot off the fire, it remains a kli rishon. There's only one case where there's a distinction between a kli rishon on the fire and a kli rishon off the fire. The one case is if you're taking axe meat, and some people can say also salt, it will not cook in a kli rishon unless it's on the fire. That's the one exception. Otherwise, anytime it could be reached in it's also even if you took it off the fire. As long as it's Yatzalatas by. Now, what happens if I take. Oh, so Taisi asked the Kasha, why is a Klisheni worse than a Klisheni? Something's actually hatter. Taisi says a Poshita thing. Because the Klisheni, like I just said, has hot soup, but it's got cold walls. A Klisheni has both. By Bezoi comes out an interesting Chiddush. What's it then if I take. Here's my pot of what's it called? Hot water. And I pour it onto something else. So when the liquid leaves the pot, it's not in the Klisheni anymore. It's not in the hot walls. The water came out. On the other hand, it doesn't have the chesaron of a klisheni. It's not in cold walls. How do we look at it? That's a three way machlokes in Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Mem. One day says it has a dinner of klisheni because it doesn't have cold walls. So it's going to cook. The other day, Tosfos brings down and says no. It has a dinner of klisheni because when the water touched the piece of meat on the table, it doesn't have hot walls. So it's not like a klisheni. And the middle day, which we pass like is Rabbeinu Tam, he says that irui is mavashka de klipa. Which means when you pour it, it's not a klisheni, it doesn't have hot walls. On the other hand, it's not a klisheni, it doesn't have cold walls. It's going to cook it a thin layer. They keep it like an eggshell, that thin. That's what it's going to cook. So that comes out, what's the nafkamina? If you did it on Shabbos, you're over bishul d'oraisa, because you cooked the piece of meat a thin layer, but you cooked it. You're over. If it comes to, and also, since b'di'evad, that food is also cooked on Shabbos, it doesn't answer the whole piece of food. It only answers that klipa. The rest of it was not necessary. It wasn't cooked. When it comes to Yeridaya, if you poured boiling hot milk onto a piece of meat, it doesn't answer altogether. It answers the klipa. Now, by the way, on Shabbos, if you poured hot water onto a piece of meat, and I'm telling you it only answers the klipa, don't be a chokhan and cut off the piece of the klipa on top. And then you'll be over the second deraisa. Then you'll be over boir. Bishul shinyaches and boir shinyates. You did both. You can't just take off the part that's also. That's the psalus. You can't eat it. So you have to take it a little bit more. People make these mistakes, so this is awesome.
Klipa is referring to where you poured it on?
Mm-hmm. The part that it touched, the depth of one klipa, like paper thin. Cut off a thin layer. Can't just scrape it. You have to cut off a thin layer. That's called klipa. And that is the din of irui. So now, irui of a klirishon is less than a klirishon. A klirishon is vashal altogether. Irui klirishon, klipa. Klisheni, we said, really does not cook, but we're machmer. Iri klisheni is basically mutter. It's mutter on anything and everything except certain things like tea, which are very, very sensitive. Klishlishi, which is one dagger less than that, is mutter mamish. What do you ask? Challah has a different advantage. Challah is already baked. And there's a machlik, as the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yechesiv Hey, that there's a din, just like embishlachar bishel, embishlachar fia. Because baking, broiling, cooking, these are all types of bishel. So Mishnah Bechaber says there's no problem of putting challah into soup. The Ramos says, we don't hold it out. We hold it is bishlach rafiyah. So for us, it's also put challah even to a klisheni.
Okay? But isn't it a klisheni?
If it's a klisheni, you're fine.
But you go from the pot to the ladle to the
Nachon. So if you use the ladle, yeshiva guys very often don't use the ladle. Those maidas and liquid. But if you use the ladle, you're right. Then it's a klisheni, then it's mutter. But if you pour it from the pot straight into the plate, you got a problem. I got to run right now. I can't stick around too much for questions because simply I have to catch an omer. I'm a chiv. And I have to catch an omer in Gesher Chaim. But if anybody has any questions, you can ask me tomorrow. And I'm around.
Very quickly. So the first klisheni, is that a holy mark, right?